Your Bibles tonight to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Just take a moment to remind you of the yard sale at P.C. Dorsey's house next Saturday morning beginning at 9 o'clock. Keep that in mind for the church family. John chapter 8, and we want to read just one verse tonight. That's verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your gracious and kindness, your graciousness and kindness to us. We thank you that we can lean upon you, as the choir sang, that you tell us to cast all of our care upon you because you care for us. We pray that we would do that we might not go around burdened, but that we might come before the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We pray that you would bless your people tonight and encourage them from your word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we want to continue our studies here in John chapter 8. In this chapter, the Lord is teaching in the temple. Verse 2 tells us that early in the morning, after the Lord had spent the night on the Mount of Olives, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. And so these verses in John chapter 8 tell us what the Lord was teaching these people there in the temple. In verse 12, after dealing with the woman taken in adultery, the Lord continues his teaching. Or actually, I guess we really could say that the Lord begins his teaching. We aren't told what he said before this point or before verse 7. Whatever he was saying, he was obviously interrupted by the Pharisees bringing this woman in. And so in verse 12, he speaks again. He continues the teaching that he was giving there in the temple. Verse 12 says, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We have here in this 12th verse one of the I ams that we find in John's gospel. And for a few minutes tonight, we want to think about the significance of these two words, I am. To do that, we need to turn back, first of all, to the first place that we find them in the Bible, and that's in Exodus chapter 3, if you'll turn back there. In the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 3. I believe that you're familiar with the setting of this chapter. God appears to Moses in the burning bush, and he commissions him to go back to Egypt to lead the people out of there. And in verse 13 of Exodus chapter 3, Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? Moses is an encouragement to me because he was a worrier. He strikes me as a worrier, at least. He's thinking ahead and he's worrying about the reception that he's going to get from these people as he goes to them and says, I've been sent by the Lord to bring you out of the land of Egypt. He was anticipating a response from these people. And so he asked the Lord, when I say the God of your fathers has sent me, and they shall say, what is his name? What do I say? And in verse 14, God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. The Lord says there in verse 14, his name is I Am. I Am. And in verse 15, God says, that is my name forever. I Am. That's present tense. And it's a reminder that God lives in the eternal present. He lives outside of time. He is without father, he's without mother, he's without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. From everlasting to everlasting, the psalmist said, thou art God. From everlasting, that's eternity past, to everlasting, that's eternity future. Thou art God. God is timeless. He lives in the eternal present. And his name is I Am. I Am. But a question comes to mind when we read that. I am who? I am what? Those questions are answered in the book of John. The I Am expressions are only found in the book of John. And it's like that because John presents the Lord Jesus Christ as God. And he does that beginning in the very first book, or rather the very first verse of the gospel that he wrote. So I'd like for us to turn over to John chapter 1. We're looking in John chapter 8, but we want to look at John chapter 1 and look at some familiar verses, but see some things there that are very critical, very important to our understanding. Back in the late 1980s, Pastor Kelly began a verse-by-verse study of John's gospel. And he began that study here, of course, in chapter 1, and he began that study by pointing out the depth and the meaning and the message that the Spirit of God puts into just one word here in chapter 1. And the word that he pointed out to us here is the word was. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. We find that word 15 times in these first 14 verses of John chapter 1. Now, we only have one word for was in the English language. But there are two words in the Greek language that are translated was in these verses. The first one we see there in verse 1. In fact, we see it three times there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That word was means to exist. That word was means to have no beginning. To have no beginning. And so here in verse 1, we are reading about the Word that was with God, the Word that was God. And the Spirit of God uses this specific Greek word that means to exist, to have no beginning, because God has no beginning. As we said a minute ago, as we mentioned from the book of Hebrews, He is without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. In eternity past, God exists. In eternity future, God exists. He is the I Am. And John is telling us that. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in just a minute. And everywhere that John is referring to God, in verse 1, verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. Verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 8, He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Verse 9, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Verse 10, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Verse 15, John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, this was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. Everywhere that John is referring to God in these verses, the Spirit of God has him use this particular word, was, that means to have no beginning. No beginning. With one exception. There's one exception. And that exception is verse 14. If you look at it. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That word was in verse 14 is a different Greek word. That word was means to have a beginning. We see that word three times in verse 3. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In this verse, John is talking about the creation. And so the Spirit of God has him use this other Greek word because the creation had a beginning. It had a beginning. The creation came to be when the Word that had no beginning spoke it into existence by the word of His power. We see this same word for was in verse 6, referring to John the Baptist. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. John had a birth. John had a beginning. And so the Spirit of God uses this other word, was, that means to have a beginning. We see it again in verse 10. And the world was made by Him. The world had a beginning. It's referring back again to the creation. And then we see that word in verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. This is the exception. This is the one time in these verses when this word was, that means to have a beginning, is used to refer to the Word. This is the one time when it's used to refer to God. And it's like that because this is where verse 14 is telling us about the time that the one who had no beginning The one who lives outside of time stepped out of eternity and into time. This is where God became a man. And being made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man, being the seed of the woman, as we read in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Being made of a woman, as we read in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, he had a birth. He had a birth. Doesn't seem possible, but in just a very short period of time, we'll be celebrating his birth again. I noticed that the choir went back to practicing at 5:30 again, so that's always a sign that Christmas is coming. So, the Lord Jesus had a birth. He had a birth. He had a beginning as a man on this earth. And we see that reflected in this word was here in verse 14. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But the Spirit of God also makes it clear in this verse. Very instructive. As you read through the Gospels, to see how very careful the Spirit of God is in writing this book to constantly remind us about the deity of Christ. You see, he tells us there, as we read on, that the Lord was fully man. That's what the first part of verse 14 says. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Lord Jesus was fully man. He was also fully God. Notice that he tells us here that the Word that had no beginning, the Word that was made flesh, the God of eternity, stepped out of eternity into time, but he was still fully God. And he tells us that here. We beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 9, he says to Philip, "He that hath seen me has seen the Father." That's why Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 3:16, God was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. It's why he writes in Hebrews chapter 1, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Here in these verses, we see the eternal God in this little three-letter word, was. If you think about it, it's incredible. The message that God has packed into just that one little word. Here in this passage, we see the eternal God in that word. This word was, that means having no beginning. And we also see that in that word, we also see I am. In that word was, we see I am. If you look that word up, the word was in verse 1 and verse 2, the other verses that we mentioned, you'll find something very interesting. This particular word was that we find verse 1, verse 2, that refers to having no beginning, is a form of the verb that's translated I am here in the book of John. It's a form of that very same verb that is translated I am. I think that's a very precious thought. Because when you put all these things together, the words that the Spirit of God is using here tell us that the eternal God who was made flesh is the I am of the Old Testament. I wish I could make that more clear. I know that I'm not making it probably as clear as it ought to be or as clear as it can be. But it's here. It's here in these verses. And the importance of it is in all of these verses where the Lord Jesus says, I am. And we're going to look at those verses in just a minute. In the verses where the Lord Jesus says, I am, he reveals something of the depth of what he is and who he is. We ask that question back there in Exodus chapter 3. We looked at those words, I am. I am who? I am what? And here in John's gospel, the Lord Jesus reveals something of the depth of who he is and what he is in these verses where we find him saying, I am. The first one, if you'll turn over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And look at verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I am the bread of life. Look at verse 48. I am that bread of life. Verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. Now, look over at chapter 8. And verse 12, and our verse that is our text tonight. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Look at chapter 10 of John's gospel. John chapter 10 and verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Look at chapter 11. And verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And then look at chapter 14 and verse 6. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then look at chapter 15 and verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Here in the Gospel of John, we have the revelation of the I am of Exodus chapter 3. I am who? Look back at John chapter 10 again. We'll answer that question by looking at John chapter 10 and verse 36. I am that I am. I am who? I am what? John chapter 10 and verse 36. Say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent unto the world, thou blasphemest because I said I am the Son of God. That's who he is. I'm the Son of God. He tells us plainly who he is. We have the revelation of the I am of Exodus chapter 3. The Lord Jesus is the I am. And he tells us plainly that he is the I am. Look back again at our chapter, John chapter 8. He tells us very plainly. John chapter 8 and verse 24. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now you notice in your King James Bible that the word he is in italics. And it's in italics because the King James translators added that word to make the verse easier to read and easier to understand. And they tell us that they did that by putting it in italics. But we can read that verse without that word, he. And what we have is the Lord Jesus saying, for if ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. We have the same thing in verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Look at verse 58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Three times in this chapter, the Lord Jesus says, I am. Seven times in John's gospel, we have the revelation of the I am. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine. The Lord Jesus Christ is the I am. He's the God of eternity who stepped out of eternity and into time. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God was manifest in the flesh. It was the I am. It was God who was lifted up on the cross of Calvary. And it was the God of eternity that shed his blood to purchase our salvation. Look over one other place. Look over at Acts chapter 20, if you would, for just a minute. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, Paul tells the elders of the church at Ephesus, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Now notice these next words. To feed the church of God, which he refers back to God. Feed the church of God, which God hath purchased with his own blood. With his own blood. The blood that was shed on Calvary's cross was the blood of the eternal God. What an amazing thought. That the I am, the God of eternity, would step out of eternity and step into time and make himself of no reputation, and take upon him the form of a servant, and be made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, to humble himself and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's why he said in John chapter 8 and verse 24, if ye believe not that I am, if ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. Have you believed tonight that Jesus Christ is the I am? Have you believed that he shed his blood that you might be saved? You can believe that tonight. Right where you are, you can believe that message. You can lay down your rebellion. You can repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Let's go back to John chapter 8 again, if you would. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus taught in the temple that he is the I Am. And that is the key. That is the key to his teaching here. And it's the key to the things that we're going to talk about as we go through the rest of this chapter. I am the light of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ, the I Am of the Old Testament. Do you know him tonight? Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the message that is in every word of this book. We thank you for these words, I am. We can't even begin to grasp the depth of the meaning of those words. Thank you for the little word was there in John chapter 1. What a message. We thank you for that 14th verse that tells us when the God of all eternity, how he stepped out of eternity and into time, and went to the cross of Calvary to bear our sins in his own body on the tree. We thank you for him tonight. We thank you for the great salvation that he's provided, which is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy you've saved us. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. We praise you for our Savior tonight. We pray these things in his name. Amen.